From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
A strong but measured response from Russia and China at the UN Security Council on Monday. This after a discussion of the U.S. drone killing of a top Iranian military official, apparently on a diplomatic mission to Baghdad. We begin with these comments by Zhang Jun, permanent representative of China to the UN, at a media stakeout at UN headquarters in New York on Monday.
At this moment, I think the most urgent thing for us, for the whole international community to do, is to prevent the further escalation of the tension. China is engaged in diplomatic efforts with other countries for that purpose. State Councilor and Foreign Minister Wang Yi has made quite a number of telephone calls with his counterparts, especially the Iranian Foreign Minister, Minister Zarif, and also the Russian Foreign Minister, Minister Lavrov, and the French Foreign Minister. And we do hope that we are able to maintain the peace and the security and stability in that region and preventing any further deterioration. China opposes the use of force in international relations. It's obvious that the unilateral risk-taking military actions of the United States violated basic norms of international relations and led to the gravitation of the tension. And for China, we urge the United States not to abuse any further use of force. And we also call on all relevant parties to exercise maximum restraint and talking to each other and trying to find the solutions through dialogues and for the purpose of the peace and security of the whole region and also for the whole world. We also think that the independence, sovereignty, and territorial integrity of Iraq should be fully respected by the whole international community. So we hope that with our joint efforts, we are able to stop the further deterioration.
Ambassador, do you think that this issue should be discussed by the Security Council? Should the Security Council take any action?
Well, if you look at the UN Charter, and the Security Council is entrusted with the primary responsibility in maintaining world peace and security, and that's what the Charter entrusted the Security Council to do. And indeed, at this moment, the whole Middle East and the Gulf region is confronted with many serious challenges. And we have received a letter from the permanent representative of Iran asking the Security Council to pay close attention to the current situation. And Council members are informed of that, and China, of course, as a permanent member, will work together with other members and to do whatever we can to safeguard international law, to safeguard justice, and to avoid the further deterioration of the tension in the region. That's not in the interest of any of us.
Can I just rephrase that then slightly? Will China be proposing any Security Council action?
Well, as I said, China will work together with other countries to do whatever we can to prevent the further deterioration of the tension.
Mr. Ambassador, two questions following up. You said that Iran had asked the Council to pay attention. Does paying attention mean calling a meeting? And also, the United States has criticized both China and Russia for blocking a Security Council statement that would protest the attack on the U.S. embassy in Baghdad as basically a violation of the inviolability of diplomatic premises under the 1961 Vienna Convention. What is your response to that?
Well, with regard to the Iranian request, and I'm sure the Council will pay attention to their request, and with regard to what the Council should do is up to the Council members to make a decision. With regard to your second question, let me make it clear, crystal clear, that China is in favor of the protection of all diplomatic premises, embassies, consulates, generals, whatever it is, and that's the basic provision of the Vienna Convention and by all relevant international laws. But meanwhile, that's only part of the whole story. You know, after the what happened against the embassy, and we see we have seen more events taking place, especially the unilateral action from the United States against the Iranian personnel. So that's the Council is supposed to do something, we should have a complete coverage of the whole things, making sure that we are doing whatever we can to maintain peace and the security for the whole region, and avoiding any further escalation of the tension.
So you would have preferred you would support a wider Security Council product dealing with this, all of the events?
As I said, whatever the Council is supposed to do, it should be something conducive for the maintenance of the whole peace and security in the region, and should be balanced, and should be reflecting what the UN Charter asked the Security Council to do.
Make it as quick as I can. You indicated that your foreign minister had direct communication with Foreign Minister Zarif. Has there been any attempt for him to reach out directly to Secretary of State Pompeo, or even at a higher level for President Xi, who has a personal relationship with President Trump, to try to mediate the situation? You've talked to one side, but you're willing to talk to the other.
Let me also tell you that there was also telephone conversations between Chinese senior official Director Yang Jiechi and Secretary Pompeo concerning that matter. We also indicated our position on this issue. Okay, thank you.
Those comments from China's permanent representative were followed up by these from Vasily Nebenzia, the permanent representative of the Russian Federation, at that same media stakeout at UN headquarters in New York Monday.
Briefly, I think that the Chinese colleague has already spoken. on the statement that I missed because we were in the consultations the whole morning through, and I haven't read it, but I read afterwards that U.S. condemns China and Russia for blocking the press statement, presidential statement on the attack in the embassy in Baghdad. I would like to inform you, first of all, as a principle, we condemn strongly any attack on any embassy, anywhere in the world, whatever country it is. And we strongly condemn the attack on the American embassy in Baghdad. And the press statement, the presidential statement, was nearly ready. It was agreed upon, at least with us, with the U.S., when the strike on the 3rd of January came in the Baghdad airport. And not to take that and to ignore it, and not to take that into account in the whole context was impossible, and we said that we can propose amendments to the presidential statement, but those amendments surely would not be acceptable to our U.S. colleagues. So I will tell you, I'm telling you the context in which the statement didn't go through. It's not because we didn't condemn the attack itself, but because the context in which it was evolving was different at the time when the statement was about to be adopted.
Well, how did the context change? What specifically are you talking about?
Because we now have to talk about territorial integrity, about sovereignty of Iraq, about the need to de-escalate in the regions and to prevent developments going down the drain in the direction of a major conflict. And it could not but be taken into account in the presidential statement, any presidential statement that had to come out from the Security Council. Don't forget that the attack on the American embassy in Baghdad was preceded by the strikes U.S. made on certain groups in Iraq. And that was a reaction, although unfortunate, and it cannot be justified in any case in the course of diplomatic immunity, etc. But the context became different then.
Ambassador, will you be proposing that the Security Council meet, issue a statement, take any action over the killing of Soleimani?
We were not discussing that, especially today, and you perfectly well understand that the prospects of such statement is zero.
Meanwhile, council members and the press were updated on the status of affairs in another country that was devastated by U.S. intervention almost 9 years ago. It was in March 2011 that then-President Barack Obama made the following announcement.
Today, I authorize the armed forces of the United States to begin a limited military action in Libya in support of an international effort to protect Libyan civilians. That action has now begun.
That announcement was the kickoff of a 7-month campaign of bombing against the country that was done in coordination with terrorist groups from around the region on the ground. Today, Libya lies in ruins. This was Ghassan Salame, Special Representative of the Secretary General and Head of the United Nations Support Mission in Libya, discussing the latest situation there at UN headquarters Monday.
Well, good day, everybody. I was honored to be able to have frank, rich, and detailed discussion with the members of the Security Council in the past 2 hours. Before that, I was honored to have a long working session with the Secretary General. You know that the situation in Libya is particularly difficult at that time. I can give you many examples of the difficulty we are facing. I would give you the example of what happened on Saturday evening when dozens of cadets have been killed in the military academy, unarmed, entirely unarmed, by a drone attack that is probably done by a country supporting the LNA. I could tell you more about what is happening today in the city of Sirte, where some fighting took place and some areas have been taken by the LNA. I could also tell you about the humanitarian situation, because it's basically the Libyans who are paying the dearest price for what is happening, with new thousands of IDPs, with dozens of schools closed because of the fighting, dozens of health facilities attacked by drones and by fixed-wing aircraft. But I would like also to insist on the great courage of my colleagues in UNSMIL, trying to help at the same time at the humanitarian level, at the political level, and at the economic level. The situation is bleak right now. I am the first to confess it. But let me also emphasize our determination as UN to try to find a way out of this bleak situation. You certainly know that we have decided at the beginning of this year to launch three tracks involving the two sides in the war: an economic and financial one, a military and security one, and thirdly, a political dialogue one. I'm happy to inform you that we started today, while I'm talking to you, with the economic and financial one, with a meeting representing all parties in Tunis for the first time. I hope that in the next 2 weeks, I will be able to launch the second track concerning military and security issues, that is ceasefire, arms embargo, DDR process, terrorism and counterterrorism, and this kind of issues. And I am hopeful that before the end of this month, we would be able to launch the political dialogue, probably in Geneva, in the Palais des Nations, before the end of the month. In the meanwhile, I hope that the Berlin conference takes place and give a push, an international push, an international umbrella to what the UNSMIL is trying to do on the ground. That's what I informed the Security Council about today, and I'm ready to take your questions if you have any. Madam.
I'm Michelle Nichols from Reuters. You just mentioned that the drone attack on the military academy, you said that's probably done by a country supporting the LNA. Do you have any evidence that could indicate specifically which country?
No, we know it is a country supporting the LNA, but there is more than one country supporting the LNA.
What's your message to all these countries who are, we've seen Turkey now sending in support for the government? What's your message to
everyone? Take your hands out of Libya. The country is suffering too much from foreign interference in different ways. In arms being sold to Libyans, in arms being given to Libyans, in direct foreign military action in Libya, in looking for bases, permanent bases in Libya, in all these kind of direct intervention is making things extremely difficult. What I ask the Security Council and what I ask these countries is very clear. Keep out of Libya. There is enough weapons in Libya. They don't need extra weapons. There are enough mercenaries in Libya. So stop sending mercenaries, as is the case right now, with hundreds, probably thousands, coming into the country of late. So yes, stop all kinds of foreign interference. And I would go back to the principle. There is a resolution calling for arms embargo in Libya. Those who voted this resolutions are necessarily in need to implement it. If everybody violates the arms embargo, it's a problem. But if those who voted it are violating it, it's an even bigger problem. Yes, madam.
Thank you very much. Edith Lederer from the Associated Press. You expressed hope that a conference in Berlin would happen. What's holding it up? And do you believe that at least General Haftar still thinks that he can achieve a military victory?
Well, the Berlin conference, I think, needs to be defined in what it is exactly. On the 29th of July, I came before the Security Council and asked for some kind of international conference to give a blessing, to give support, to show that the international community is united in our efforts to bring the Libyans together. That's what we need from Berlin. Berlin is not going to decide the future of Libya. This we decide in Libya itself. That is why we started these three tracks, which are exclusively inter-Libyan, economic and financial, security and military, and political. These three tracks are going to be launched now. In fact, we started with the first one today, not waiting for the international conference to take place in Berlin. We hope that the international conference comes and blesses, supports, endorses these efforts we are doing on the ground, but we started these efforts without waiting for Berlin to take place. We hope it takes place because it will give international momentum to this effort on the ground. Yes, there are people who believe that there is a military solution possible. I want to be clear here. There is no military solution possible in Libya. That's what I believe. I know it's a UN cliché, but in this case, it's not a UN cliché. Because if you look at the composition of forces on both sides, you'll discover that there are a lot of mercenaries and that the country is huge, three times France, and that to capture that country and to control that country, I don't see any party able to do that. That is why I say, not as a cliche, but as a realistic assessment, that there is no military solution in Libya, that the Libyans should come together and stop this prima donna behavior and come together and accept concessions, mutual concessions, to divide power, which is the basic part of a political settlement. Sir.
Yes. Again, you mentioned mercenaries, you mentioned that, again, that there is no military solution. But just a few days ago, Turkey announced that it's going to send military help to the government because it was requested. So do you do a difference in this? Differentiate between help, military help arriving because the government in Tripoli is asking? Or for you, doesn't matter if it's mercenary or if it's the state helping, everybody should stay out of Libya in this moment.
I think there is no interest in Libya to have more foreign interference. I know that many countries have been helping Haftar. I don't want to single out the memorandum of understanding between the GNA and Turkey as something absolutely different. I think the intervention is there. When I went to Libya in summer 2017, already thousands of mercenaries were there. The country has more than 15,000 pieces of weapons. So you don't need more mercenaries. You do not need more weapons. That is why we are calling on all countries to stop interfering. I don't do any difference between what is happening in the East and what is happening in the West. The get out of Libyan nightmare, that's what I am asking all the countries. Remain outside this situation because there is no military solution. The more we give hopes to this side or to that side, the more you render the political solution extremely difficult. So better avoid escalating and internationalizing this conflict. Yes.
Thank you, Alan Bulkati with the Russian news agency RIA Novosti.
I'm sorry, I didn't get
it. Alan Bulkati with Russian news agency RIA Novosti. Do you have any idea in what dates will be the Berlin conference held?
I hope it is held as soon as possible, because work has been done during the fall in five different meetings, by the way, in which Russia participated very actively. And the two basic documents to be adopted by the heads of state are to very large extent ready since our last meeting on the 10th of December. So the soonest, the best. But you know that this depends on the schedule of the various heads of state and other things like that. But the soonest it happens, the best. I hope it happens in the next few weeks, and this possibly before the end of January. But again, I am not waiting for Berlin to happen to start working. The three tracks on the ground where the Libyans want to decide their future have started today on the economic and financial issue, and will start on the security and military issue as soon as possible. Berlin is there to give it a push, to give it a boost, but it is not the beginning or the end of the world. But I hope it takes place as soon as possible.
Well, I will follow up with what I was asking before again. Again, you're saying practically that for you is the same. Any intervention or any, so if even a state nation like Turkey coming or mercenary will be the same, clear, right? So I ask again, what did you ask the Security Council to prevent that this actually will happen? The countries like Turkey or other countries already doing, they will interfere with the process if you think it is an interference. So what did you ask? Did you ask something specific to the Security Council? Do you think the Security Council can prevent that? Or is just a fact that because Tripoli government asked for help, that it's legal, it's not a problem?
I leave it to others to decide the legality of things. What is clear for me is that the Security Council has met 14 times on Libya since the 4th of April and didn't produce a resolution on a ceasefire. I care about the Libyans, my friend. And the Libyans are asking, where is the international community? Where is that international community that in 2011 said it will protect the civilians? Now civilians are attacked. Dozens of schools are attacked. Dozens of health facilities are attacked. People who are leaving their homes, even registered, 140,000, non-registered, more than 300,000. Who are leaving their homes. What do I tell them? That the international community doesn't care? Is unable to produce a UN resolution calling for a ceasefire? That's the heart of the matter. I am really angry to see that everybody wants to talk about Libya and very few people wants to talk about the Libyans. What happens to the Libyans? What happens to the million migrant workers in Libya? What happens to these guys? Why don't we ask about them? Libya is not only an oil story. Libya is not only a gas story. Libya is not only a geopolitical story. It is also a human story. And people are suffering. And for no other reason but for the fact that there is no international clear message that enough is enough.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.